Welcome to the Elder Hour podcast, where we discuss the history of plants from a magical perspective.
We'll be exploring the history, lore, and mystical properties of a new plant every single week.
I'm your host, Juliette Diaz, an indigenous Taino bruja and seer from a long line of medicine women and men. I have a master's of science in herbal medicine, best-selling author of Witchery, Embrace the Witch Within, and founder of Plant Coven.
And I'm your host, Chelsea Selby, owner of a cult bath and body brand, Witch Baby Soap, college-educated holistic health practitioner, and lifelong witch.
Welcome to the Elder Hour podcast. Today we have a special episode about you. Not about you, gentle listener. Y-E-W-U, the yew tree.
Yes. And to call in the spirit of the yew, we're starting with an invocation. So, old yew which graspeth at the stones, that name the underlying dead, thy fibrous net the dream world, dreamless head, thy roots are wrapped around the bones. And this is by Tennyson.
I love that.
So good.
Okay, well, let's start with the scientific name of yew is Taxus baccata, which, in my opinion, sounds like it should be the name of the hold music for the IRS. I don't know why. It just sounds like the symphony of the IRS or something. Taxus baccata.
Well, now that you mention it, yes.
The yew tree is ruled by Saturn. We observe this in its poisonous effects.
Yes. And Pluto.
Yeah.
I got Pluto on here, too.
So, the yew is everywhere.
Yes.
You probably, or maybe you know what the yew tree is, but it's one of those things that goes seemingly unnoticed and just happens to be basically everywhere.
Yeah, so the tree that you're probably most attracted to are the ones that look weirder at the trunk, mm-hmm. the ones that kind of look like they're shaped differently, thick.
Yeah.
My brain. Freaking dirty minds. But it looks really weird and old-timey and ancient. That's mm-hmm. the yew.
Yeah. This is definitely like an ancient tree. It has like a lot of ancient goddesses connected to it. Hecate, Kyr Ebormaith, who I'm going to talk about today, Haller, seen some Holda,
and Odin. I believe this is Dion or Dion.
Mm-hmm.
D-I-O-N-E.
Yeah, I don't know.
One of the two have to be right.
One
Artemis,
of those.
Yeah, Artemis. And it's also very much connected to indigenous culture as well,
mm-hmm.
because this is, the yew is the guardian of the underworld, and it assists guiding souls from one world to the next. So if, as you can imagine, we do journeying, and this tree is very connected with that journey.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, if you haven't picked up on that, between its Saturn and Pluto aspects is, a little on the darker side
yes.
of the spectrum.
Yes. Elements, I have earth and water.
Mm-hmm. It's also, that one just disappeared. I think I got distracted by the train.
Yeah, a little bit.
The train took the thought.
It took it with it.
It left the station.
Get back.
Okay, so every part of the yew is poisonous, mm-hmm. except for the fleshy little berry.
Yes.
The seed inside the little berry is the most poisonous.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really interesting because it's one of Hecate's sacred trees, along with the willow tree, the black poplar, and the date palm. And for some reason, when I was a kid, like, I could not get enough of the little yew berries, and also willow trees were like my two, that was my jam.
That's interesting. That's my favorite tree, willow. I named my cat after it.
I love willow trees.
Mm-hmm.
I had one in my backyard when I was little.
What a blessing.
Yeah.
They are magical.
Yeah, and I used to just like swing on it.
Oh, so good.
So they were also sacred to the Druids. When Christianity, when Roman invaders imposed Christianity on the region, yew was added to a lot of churchyards, and some sermons were actually delivered under yew trees to help assimilate pagans into the religion. And it's also believed that the yule log was yew. A lot of people think yule came from the word yew.
Yew, okay.
Mm-hmm. So as you picked up, it's associated with death and sorrow. Also, to the Celts, it represented faith and resurrection. And in Old English, it's known as the witch's tree.
Yes, there's a lot of necromancy connected to Jew because of the resurrection.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most popular trees in graveyard landscaping.
Oh, yeah, that's where I hung out all the time. So everybody knows my story as a child. That's where I hung out. The cemeteries that surrounded my project housing. And that's the tree I would climb. They were all over the place. Climbed them. I would hide. Some of them had such big gaps, like, between the trunk bottom part of the roots. I would stay in there, and, like, that was my little tent for the night or for the whenever I was there to hide. And just chilled on those. But interesting, I didn't know the berries were poisonous. I just knew I shouldn't eat them because the crows would knock them down and wouldn't eat them. And they ate everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And then when I saw they wouldn't eat those berries, I was like, okay, maybe don't put those in my mouth.
Yeah, I played with, like, yew berries all the time. Like, all the time. Any berries I could really find outside, like, lots of poisonous berries now that I...
So many.
Yeah, like, hemlock berries.
Jesus.
poke berries. I used to, like, squeeze the poke berries open and just use them as, like, my ink. When I was a kid.
Yes, so good.
And then I was shocked to find out those are poisonous, too.
But interesting, since you mentioned the ink of those berries are what you want to write with for invocations when you want to rise, like, rise someone from the dead.
Which was, like, my favorite thing to do when I was, like, dead.
Such a little witch. So, yes, that ink is from those berries are particularly used for necromancy. They're powerful to use for any spells or invocations or calling or raising the dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it just makes so much sense for my childhood. It's really interesting. Like, you know when you see, like, the soldiers in movies get caught by the enemy and just, like, 86 themselves? And they, like, take a berry or something. So yew berries are that berry.
Interesting. And it would really kill them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh. So they would use that rather than be defeated.
So for indigenous journeying, when you find the yew tree, for specific journeying into the underworld. So there's different kinds of journeying. And underworld is pretty much something that they tell you not to do until you're more experienced. And when you're working with death energy. So I'm someone who works with death energy according to my elders. Because number one, I was just talking to you about my anxiety attacks, panic attacks that I get from fear of death.
And which also, you're a death doula.
Yes, I'm a death doula. And I see spirits all the freaking time. I know there's an afterlife. But there was this fear of death that would hit me out of nowhere. And the only way that my elder says for me to get rid of it was because I wasn't working enough with the underworld. So that was very interesting for me. So for me to journey into the underworld, I then found out when I did do the journey that I've been there like a million times.
Yeah, we like, talked about this.
I'm like, yeah, that's my, those are my homies. Like, I've been there.
Yeah.
And they're like, you've been, I'm like, I've been there since the trauma, like since I was a little girl. That's where I would escape to. And that's why I always mention that I have a fond gratitude for the underworld, just as I do with divinity, because they both, in their own ways, protected me and gave me so much wisdom. So since because they were really dark times, that's the energy that surrounded the space, right? Because of what was happening to me. And I was very, I easily traveled into worlds. Like, I don't even have to journey in order for me to get into another world. But I do recommend it just so that you avoid a lot of, like, your energy being depleted or anything latching on or anything like that. But, yeah, so when I did do it properly, I was like, oh, I know this place. Like, I've been here. Look, that's Tommy right over there. No, I'm just kidding. So we do it with this tree. When I journey with the Jute tree to go into the underworld, it's a different experience because they can't see you.
Yeah. Oh, and that's interesting.
That's really interesting to me because if you journey any other way, they could see you. Yeah. Like, anything that's in the underworld.
I've had some dreams where, like, I've been places and they couldn't see
you. And they couldn't see you? Well, that's the whole thing with this tree. It will protect you.
Yeah.
Into going into the underworld. If you don't belong there, they can't see you. So you could travel easily.
Yeah, I was in, like, this really weird, like, demonic realm one time. And it was, like, all these faceless. It looked like people's faces, like their head was moving really fast. Shaking, you couldn't see their face. And then there were, like, these, I guess, other people, like, hosts or whatever. Like, people who were there were kind of just, like, trapped. And I was just, like, walking around this house, just, like, opening doors and stuff, looking in. I wasn't, like, afraid or anything. And I didn't seem to be, like, noticed. It was just weird.
It's interesting that you mentioned houses because every time I do go into the underworld, it's like spooky ass houses.
Mm-hmm.
I think one time I seen the outside of one when I finally got out of one. But usually you're inside. Who knows if it's a house or not? It just looks like a house inside because there's so many different rooms, creepy wood and creaking and the feeling, the atmosphere. It just feels like you're in a never-ending place, like a big, giant maze of creepy shit going on.
Yeah.
Either that is a space that I go to, or we've mentioned the beach before, the dark beach, and also a part of a forest where there's a lot of swamps. Hmm. And usually I always go under the swamp.
Interesting.
And, yeah. So it's interesting that there's always similarities until how people remember what they see down there, like what's the main focal point. And usually it is some, you know, the house is one that was always brought up.
It was definitely like a crazy memorable dream. It's so weird.
We should, you know, I always say that you, when you have like nightmares or you have these dreams that you think you're in a different realm, recording them or writing down, I think it's really important because it's something that we don't talk about much. So it would be important for me because Indigenous people, we record everything. Everything matters. Even the silliest shit, it matters because later on, looking back at those records, we could compare them with other people's and we're like, oh shit, there's something to this, like the creepy fucking house.
Yeah, we're all going to the same place.
Are we, is it the same exact place though? Is it the same, like, are you in a different level of the house? Can we break a code here? You don't know until we put them all together and record them. So I personally like to, like, record everything and then one day, who knows, maybe it will be us. We'll collect all the research and try to, like, piece these things together. Because the underworld, just because they tell you it's, see, this is you energy right here. You energy is very protective of the underworld, and we're protecting it right now. So just because you've seen it in religious texts or you've grown to know, like, the underworld is bad, it is not bad.
Yeah.
Is it dangerous? Maybe. But it's not a place where everything's bad. It's not a place where everyone or everything is bad. There is good in there. Sometimes people, we prefer darkness over being in the light. It's just what it is.
It's just an essential part of, like, being.
Period, right?
You know? Like, it exists.
We exist. Like, we can't, we spent our first incubation, our first creation moment in the belly, in the darkness, underwater. Like, we were underwater, guys. And a lot of people don't talk about these things. Like, why is the water so sacred? I'm like, we literally are made mostly of water. Our first creation moment was with who? Water.
Yeah.
Not earth. It was water. So we have to think about water, the underworld, being in that darkness. Wintertime, when season comes, brings you right back into that dark space for resetting, healing, and finding who? Your truth, yourself, right? You don't find it by going into the clouds, into divinity.
You find it in the darkness.
You find it in the darkness.
So I have like a more of like a fairy tale.
Let's do it.
Okay, so my story is about Kair Ibermwyth. She is the pan-Celtic goddess / fairy maiden of sleep, dreams, and prophecies, and her name translates to Kair, meaning you, Ibor Berry. So her name is Yewberry, essentially. She's a shapeshifter who switches back and forth between the form of a human woman and a swan. Her yearly change occurs on Samhain at the Lake of Dragon's Mouth. She was known for her independence at that time and wanted to choose who she marries instead of being in an arranged marriage. So she started to appear in the dreams of the god of love, youth, and poetic inspiration, Angus. When Angus would reach out to hold her, she would disappear. And he began sleeping all the time so he could spend more time in the dream world with Kair. Eventually, he started to look for her in real life. He found her father and asked for her hand in marriage, but her father said, no, because she's an independent woman and it's ultimately her choice who she marries, which is honestly a pretty progressive myth for that time. In order to obtain her hand in marriage, Angus had to find her during her change on Samhain. When he arrived, she and 150 of her handmaidens were in their swan form, and he had to figure out which one she was. All of the handmaidens were adorned in silver chains, and he spotted Kair when he noticed that she was the only swan with gold and silver chains. So, he asked for her hand in marriage, and she agreed, only if she could return to the water. So he agreed and became a swan with her. And they sang together for 3 days like little swan jigglypuffs and put the whole village to sleep.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, I just loved that story. Like, I could not stop thinking about this story for days after I read it. Like, I just love it so much.
It's beautiful.
I made a playlist.
Really?
Because I was, like, this obsessed with this story. And also, I love that it's, like, a Samhain story I've never heard.
I've never heard of it either.
You know?
It's awesome. I love learning new things.
But it's interesting because we were just talking about you and dreams in the dream world. Mm-hmm. And then you have a fairy maiden goddess named Yewberry, who's the goddess of dreams, sleep, and prophecies. Mm-hmm. So it totally aligns with that whole... And her day of changing into a swan for the year is on Samhain. And swans also have that, like, dark energy, too.
They do. They look... I know they're white, but to me, they look dark.
Yeah. And then you even see, like, that swan... The way that swans manifest. Swans have so much darkness. You have the ugly duckling about, you know, abandonment and then... later on, finding your people, and then you have Black Swan, and just the way that the swan weaves in and out of our collective psyche is also a beautiful, damaged bird.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the swan is probably the bird with the most baggage.
And trauma. Poor babies. So I have here the yew tree is another of the druids' sacred pre-Christian trees in pre-Christian times. Mm-hmm. They no doubt observed that the tree's qualities of longevity and regeneration because drooping branches of the old yew trees can root and form new trunks when they touch the ground. That is super dope.
Yeah, like, I love that.
That I didn't even know. But that could explain the thickness and the weird shape of the trunk, right? But that has to happen, like, over so many years.
And also that it repeatedly dips its fingers into the underworld.
Into the underworld. Oh, so you know? Good.
And then comes back up.
I love that so much. So, thus the U came to symbolize death and resurrection in Celtic culture, right? You also have Shakespeare. I'm a huge Shakespeare fan. I don't know if you know this. Like, I read everything. I have all his works, like, obsessed. And I owe it to my literature teacher from eighth grade. Eighth grade was, like, the worst year of my life. Mm-hmm. But her works and teaching us about Shakespearean literature really kind of, like, that's what caught my attention into branching out more into what I was reading. Either way, Shakespeare was familiar with these qualities when he had Macbeth put together a poisonous brew. Mm-hmm. In that brew, the drink was Jew in it.
Oh.
So I didn't know that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so if you read Shakespeare, though, oh, but you had to drink it silvered in the moon's eclipse.
Mm.
So this is when the brew would actually work.
Yeah.
And that pretty much is 2 weeks after the new moon. That's what that means. So Shakespeare was pretty smart. And he, I know, was a witch. He had to be a witch.
He has that very, like, I mean, if there's anybody that we could talk about for the U tree episode, I think he totally
Shakespeare
embodies that energy.
He embodies that. And a lot of people don't read Shakespeare, but you should totally read Shakespeare. I think what really attracted me to his literature and writing is that he does talk about plants and potions and he's very he's correct in what he puts in there. He just doesn't throw out any herbs and stuff. He like literally is concocting together a whole potion, and he'll tell you the ingredients in his writing. So he most definitely was a brujo,
OG witch.
Yeah. And poetry.
Yeah.
Shakespearean language. That's a old language of invocations.
Yeah.
I'm like choking on myself.
Yeah, no, I 1000% totally see that energy. Even with like the most popularized, like the love. Here's the interesting thing about U Berry is like we do have darker love stories behind the U Berry, and Romeo and Juliet is one of the darkest love stories of all time.
I know, it's my name. Everybody reminds
is that
me.
Why you became obsessed with it?
No, maybe. No, actually, who fucking knows? Maybe
it could be.
Interesting.
You know?
But it was the first story, Romeo and Juliet, which I really didn't like because I remember telling our literature teacher, I'm like, I wouldn't fucking kill myself for a man.
Yeah.
I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And she's like, what do you know about love?
My first Shakespearean experience was Romeo plus Juliet, the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, that was a good movie, though.
I still love that movie.
I want to go watch it today. Thank you very
much.
Like,
the imagery that we used in the Valentine's Day collection, a lot of it
love
came
it.
From that
Oh, movie. So good.
It's so good.
It's such a good visual movie. Like, the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even say that right. Aesthetic.
Guys,
yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's... We blame the spirit. We shouldn't have called the whole spirit in.
The spirit
in.
Of you.
So that movie, though, it's really good if you haven't seen it with Leo. I mean, Leo looks dreamy as fuck in the movie.
Yeah, I just, that movie was like, so good.
The poetry of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, and there's trans and
yeah,
gay representation.
It's really progressive.
I fucking love it. It was so good. You guys, if you haven't watched it, you have to watch it.
I love that movie.
You'll
so
thank
much.
Us later.
Yeah, I mean, that is very you.
Yes.
So if my name was Juliet, I would have been like, yeah, that's right. This is my movie.
That's my movie right there. So did you know that people buried U shoots with the deceased?
I did not know that.
So it's so that they would have, to make sure that they did reach the underworld. Hmm. And they did this to people who were criminals.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. To make assure them that they were going to hell.
Yeah.
Instead of, and this is Christian, but I'm talking about the Christian era. You know, those Christians were hella
Yeah.
Witchcrafty. And even though they say they're not, you guys definitely did a lot of witchcraft.
Well, it's like the assimilation. You know, you don't ever really forget gross. Where you came from. And, like, everybody had a monotheistic indigenous spirituality before the colonization of the church.
That's what we were. We were all fucking brujas and brujos all over the world. Our original ancestors, white, black, brown, whatever the fuck mm-hmm. you want to call it, all over their planet. That's who we're meant to be. Our innate gifts is to be connected with the earth and to live life as a ceremony. That's how we lived until, you know, unfortunately for, you know, that part of the world, they wanted to colonize everything and just make rules and take control. That's what it was, really.
With any religion, really. And it's just, like, the traditions still continue to flavor those modern religions. You can't really get rid of that original flavor.
Yes. So you want to see something interesting? So Christians thinking that putting Jew in your grave to send you directly to hell was a bad thing when indigenous people put Jew in your grave to assure that it protects you, protects your body, holds it down, and grounds it so that mm-hmm. your spirit goes to divinity. So yeah. Christians had it backwards. They were sending badass people up into divinity.
Well, you know what? Maybe they needed it. Like,
yeah. I mean, I don't personally believe in man-made
yeah.
heaven and hell.
You know, especially it's, at that time, like, up. What was a bad person? Like, you just, you, a witch?
And we were blamed, you know, for everything, weren't we? That must suck. God. Like, oh. Even, like, today, like, I when we talk to witches and what we go through, like, we have so much. We have to respect the fact that we are in a time where we could openly say we're a witch. But our mm-hmm. ancestors were murdered, tortured, looked down on because of it. And they didn't even say they were witches. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I see a lot of people on social media taking advantage of this whole witch culture, I guess you could call it, mm-hmm. it really does bother me. I just don't talk about it much because I don't like starting drama. But if you're going to call yourself a witch, make sure you're a fucking witch, as in doing the work, doing some practice, giving it some respect, not just calling yourself it because, hey, it's cool now.
You know what I think, though? I think it is one of those things that if you do call yourself it and you do claim that name, even if you're at the beginning of your journey,
yeah.
even if you may not be, like, checking all the boxes of things that you should be doing.
And and that's also different because you could be it any way. You yeah. could do it your own way. You know?
I think that, like, eventually you find your way there because, like, mm-hmm. the reason that you even begin calling yourself that in the first place is because, like, you feel some connection to that. So even at the beginning, you definitely will, over time, you know, lean more into what it actually means to be a witch.
Yeah, and you know what it really, like, for me, or what it should be is just embodying yourself, your truth. And your connection. By the way, I'm going to plug in my book because it comes out the 27th, guys. But before the 27th...
That's next week.
Oh, is it?
When this podcast
Okay. I was like, wait a minute. I lost a whole week.
This one's going to be on the 20th, so...
So the reason why I mention it is because if you go to the link in my Instagram, I am Juliette Diaz, I actually put together a workbook planner... which is another book mm-hmm. for free if you get my book to record your journey with plant magic and everything and an audio for plant journeying.
That's cool.
So you get those two things and it's like the pre-sale goodies that you get when you order a
so
book.
So you only
pre-sale.
Have 7 days to hop on those
yeah.
pre-sales.
Also, please, people are saying I'm crazy for doing this, but I really don't care. Don't order my book on Amazon. Some of you already did. Totally fine. And you could still claim these goodies if you go to my link. But the reason why I'm saying no to Amazon is because Amazon's closing down a lot of small businesses, bookshops who are book lovers, who you know, who love and appreciate books and who love and appreciate authors, they're being shut down because Amazon's taking over and people are just buying off of Amazon all the time, mm-hmm. and not going to, like, local bookstores and things like that. So for me, as an author, I appreciate bookstores mm-hmm. so much. So I'd rather not be ranked on Amazon. If anything, been there, done that. I've been ranked for a whole year on bestseller. I was grateful and all of that, but it's not worth shutting down a bookstore for.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then they're buying my book and putting them in their bookshops. I rather share those bookshops with you. Also, and like, I'll highlight them. Anyone who carries my books, I highlight them. So if you live nearby, go get them. But I have a list, if you go to that link in my Instagram, with different places you could buy them from that's not Amazon. Unless that's the only place you could get it from, it's totally fine. It's just I don't want, like,
Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, totally fine. Yeah, 100%. Because the reason why is because Amazon low blows the price. Mm-hmm. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why they're affecting other stores. So Barnes & Noble keeps it real. Uh-huh. Hives, the bookshop, they keep it real with the price. Yeah, you're paying $10 extra for a book, but guess what? The author deserves it. Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, it's the bookshop that has it deserves it. Mm-hmm. And what Amazon is, they're such a giant that they're able to buy my book in such big bulk mm-hmm. and sell it at such a cheaper price. And that not only hurts me, it hurts bookstores, it hurts all authors, and this whole ranking.
Everyone except for Jeff Bezos.
Exactly. So... yeah, I know I just went on that, but I appreciate you listening to that little side note.
It's like the ring 7 days.
Yes.
7 days.
Stop it. I hate that shit. We were talking about, and then look at me.
We were talking about ASMR.
I can't stand it.
7 days.
I don't think they know what this is, and they're going to think we're creepos. So we were talking about...
they don't think we're creepos at this point, I don't know what to tell you. So, you know what? I love the idea of using you for the end of this year, you know? I think I'm going to throw a nice big log of you in my fireplace.
The Yule log?
Yeah.
I really like that. But let me know how it goes.
I will. I want to do it, especially because of the dumpster fire that 2020 has been. I think it'd be a great banishing... ritual.
Yes.
To just send this year into the underworld.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Have you guys, you know, in the youth spirit, like, thinking about, since the end of the year is coming, I feel like we're a little bit delusional of, we think that once New Year's comes that, you know, everything's going to be back to normal.
Yeah, I definitely, like the ball's going to drop and
COVID-19's, I don't know. I'm actually, like, worried about what's going to come after the ball drop. But, you know, we just have to stay optimistic and have faith mm-hmm. and, like, learn that, you know, we're beings that are supposed to flow. We're not supposed to be stagnant beings. And we've been living in a world that is a stagnant world where we're doing and repeating the same shit over and over and over, from our wake up time to work, and we're just zombies, and we're not meant to do that. So mm-hmm. this shake up, although yes, there's a lot of bad and sadness and horrible things that's come with it, it's also shaken up, like we've talked about this on the other episode, it like shook up the cauldron. Mm-hmm. So everything's just moving around now.
Yeah, I just feel like it's absolutely necessary.
Absolutely necessary. I don't know about you, but I wasn't okay with the way the world was. Especially since we work with other witches that we want to help them rise, it just feels like there was no way of helping when people were just stuck in their schedules, stuck in their old ways, and not finding a way to, like, shake things up and, like, find a flow. And I know a lot of people who have found a breakthrough out of the darkness that's mm-hmm. happened. They found a way to get out of that old routine and into a new one. There's witches or people in general opening up their own businesses now, like online, or starting new hobbies, or taking care of themselves more now. Not everybody has that going on for them. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of people suffering, and we know that, but you have to also acknowledge both things that are happening at the same time.
Yeah, I think that it's really interesting because this brings in the rebirth aspect of you. A lot of people realized this year that they could die.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people realized they could die, and they would die and not be happy with the life that they were living. Mm-hmm. So you have, like, a bunch of people migrating all over the country.
All over the world, really. I'm going to Puerto Rico next month.
Yeah, like, everybody's kind of moving around mm-hmm. and shaking things up and realizing, okay, this really busy, you know, city life is not for me. I've just been, you know, doing it for so long. I'm ready to move on to something a little more simple.
Yeah.
And all of this influence that they're going to bring from the city into different neighborhoods, and it's just going to create a really interesting melting pot because you're going to have people with different experiences mingling. It won't be so homogenous. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a really beautiful thing overall and grow into something really nice because you're going to have people sharing different experiences and cultures.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, a lot of people, when they think about Saturn, everybody's afraid of, like, their Saturn return.
I know.
I really, I don't know if it's because I have, like, so much Capricorn energy in my chart or whatever, but I don't find Saturn to be, like, as scary as everybody. It's hard. Saturn is hard. The way I've described Saturn in some of my newsletters and the spell box is, like, we did a meditation in one of the moon rituals that I sent out, and it's to visualize Saturn as kind of like a mother figure, like brushing out the thick knots of, like, your younger years during your Saturn return. It's like detangling all of those knots in your hair and just cleaning you up and making you an adult, you know?
I really like that.
That's why I think it's so necessary. The Saturn return is so important. And if there's a lot of stuff that you're resisting, if you weren't taking care of yourself, those knots are just going to be worse.
Yeah.
You know? So the Saturn energy that really comes in is, like, also just getting your affairs in order. Mm. Like, you know, Hades, the god of the underworld, is also in charge of taxes and accounting.
Mm.
Because it's just about, you know, making preparations. Everybody's just making preparations for death, you know?
Yeah.
And when we don't have death present in our everyday life, when we forget and don't honor that part of living, then we live like we can live forever.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's been a gift for a lot of people to realize that tomorrow isn't promised. So you should write that book that you want to write.
Yes.
You should visit that place safely. Visit that place that you want to visit. You know, don't go spring breaking it up.
Like, I know,
the
right?
Beginning of the pandemic. But I think it's really brought a lot of things into perspective for people that maybe they just felt caught up in this world of consumerism that just felt like endless amenities, and now shit got real. Like, your convenience was gone.
Yeah.
Everything that was convenient disappeared. Toilet paper. Like, the most simple things that you take for granted in your everyday life became not so simple.
Yep. So true.
So I think it really brought into perspective, like, what people value, and it's going to make a lot of changes, and people are going to follow their dreams more than ever.
Yeah. And for me personally, you know, you keep coming to a point where you're like, okay, this is me, this is what I'm doing, this is where I'm going. This year, it's like awakening after awakening after awakening, because mm-hmm. there's so much fear that was thrown at us this year, and it hit me personally at home, you know, with my mom's health, and then with COVID hitting my family. It was just one thing after the other mm-hmm. where I'm like, oh my God. The last time I lost someone in my family was my father, and I was six, mm-hmm. you know, five and a half. And early this year, I call her my stepmom because she was our neighbor, and she took care of me to COVID, Then my mom got COVID, and that was scary as fuck. And then something else happened with my mom that, you know, I'm not going to say, yeah. but we're out of the fear of that, and she's okay now. That was just recent. And then with me, I'm a mom and you're a mom. So we went through that mom fear of, oh, my God, not only do you have to worry about you, you're worrying about your children. Mm-hmm. And having that fear of your children being taken away from you and having the potential to pass away is a fear that you just don't know if you're not a mom. And it's really fucking horrible. I mean, I did not appreciate, you know, going through that.
Mm-hmm.
But my kids now, because of it, are even more healthier.
Yeah.
I spend way more time with them.
Yeah.
I listen to them a lot more. Not that I wasn't doing it before, because I was always a conscious mom. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm more present now.
Yeah.
And
It's been a lot of work to keep their mental health, like,
my God, do you know what it
well
is?
Yes, this year.
Like, keeping them away from the news and still updating them, mm-hmm. and still letting them talk to their friends, and then their friends are not having the same experience as us. Like, I know I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for me being able to provide for my children things that their friends couldn't have, that their parents couldn't afford. So we went into helping their friends' moms with food and money. Like, I gave out a lot of money this year, mm-hmm. to their friends because their friends weren't eating.
Yeah.
My son would constantly, mommy, you know, my friend told me he didn't eat breakfast or lunch today because he usually eats it at school and his mom doesn't have money. So that broke my fucking heart. Yeah. And that started a whole thing in our community where it took 2 weeks, but in those 2 weeks, I had given out, I think it was close to $10,000. And those were to 10 different of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Personally sending it to their parents and making sure that they were using it to feed their kids.
Yeah.
And then what that started was we got to schools to mm-hmm. give lunches,
mm-hmm.
even in the while they were closed.
Yeah.
So they started opening up the gyms so that they could go pick up food.
That's
morning.
Good.
Lunch, and they even provided dinner because now people weren't making money.
Yeah. I mean, you get so used to, like, I've lived paycheck to paycheck like that where,
same,
you know, one minor, like, thing could mean that I don't have food to eat.
Yeah, I know. And we're so good at being mindful of these things because we come from a background like mm-hmm. this.
And to be clear, minor could be, like, $30.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think minor, oh, you had to fix your car for $500.
No.
Like, no, that was out of the question. Like, I didn't have a car. I was just, like, $30 would fuck up my whole week.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
It's hard. And people just don't think how lucky they are to be able to provide for their family, even during such a, if anything, I've become more freaking grateful mm-hmm. for everyone who supports me, especially during this year, because money was down and, you know, we were trying to support our community as much as possible. I dropped prices. I was doing free services for healing, you know, and we're not the ones that go online and brag about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it comes from a good place when we're doing it just because it's the right thing to do.
What aspect you see here with the U is that it really helps you assess your relationship with others. And when I think about, like, past life regression and stuff like that, because it is one of the properties mm-hmm. for you. So I was thinking, like, how does past life regression really tie into the U tree? And I think you really see it here because there's, like, healing community trauma, healing generational trauma, trauma within your family. You really start thinking about your relationships with other people during times like this. You know, you're donating to your community and doing all of that stuff. But then you're also, like, on a more micro level, you start thinking about your relationships, your closest relationships, you know, like, what about, I started thinking with my parents about their traumas and things, unresolved things in our relationship,
mm-hmm.
all of that kind of came to the forefront. And this is a very Saturn year.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, it is. And
so
you were talking about it.
All of that comes, like, right to the, like, all of the problems. You see it on the larger scale. Like, all of these problems, these systemic problems, just as the we are assessing our personal relationships with our parents, like, what problems do we need to fix? If my parents pass, I'm not going to be satisfied with this. Well, the same thing comes down to our communities.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing, okay, well, shit's hitting the fan and our systems are not working, and Saturn is doing a wonderful job of exposing all of the Achilles heels in every institution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, down to the police force being exposed for not bringing due justice to the people who should be getting justice.
Mm-hmm.
Down to schools completely breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
Under this
school system is like
situation.
So bad. Yeah.
You know, kids are starving. And even though it's a thing that we have to pivot for, this is not our first plague. This
right.
is not our first problem. We should plan for stuff like this. And it's just very apparent there's been no planning in the larger institutions for something like this to occur.
Right. No, none whatsoever.
And so Saturn has brilliantly shined light on everything that needs to change. And while these are very dark moments, I think after this we're going to see a reform of public education. We're going to see a reform of the police force. We're going to see a reform of our environmental policies.
Yes, and the jail system.
Yeah, the jail system, healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the huge emphasis on healthcare this year has really exposed what our problems are.
I don't even know if you want to talk about it. I'm like covering my mouth. Trump got COVID for like 3 days and now he doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah. I don't know.
Don't know what is that?
Bullshit. Is
yeah,
what it
bullshit.
Is.
Just needed to put it out there. Because what the fuck?
But I do think that, like, you know, a lot of times we struggle, like, how do we use a Saturn aspect plant without it just fucking our whole life?
So let me ask you something. You know, like, everything has life and everything has a birth,
mm-hmm.
obviously connected to the stars and constellations and every... We have Saturn return. We don't know the exact birth of the Earth. So a conversation that I overheard my elders having
mm-hmm.
was saying that this is, like, the Saturn return for Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because we don't have, like, a birthday for the Earth or anything.
I think that is so fascinating.
Isn't that freaking amazing?
And the reason I think that is so fascinating is because this seems to be a 100-year thing.
Right.
For the Earth.
Right. You're right. It's like
it's
the plague.
It's cyclical.
Yes.
And it's, you know, the astrologers have been talking about this year for a long-ass time. And at the end of the year, there's supposed to be a very big event on the...
24th?
Or at the end. Maybe the 26th. The full moon, whenever that is. It's around Christmas.
Yeah, 22nd. It's a 20-something.
Yeah.
But the reason why is, well, we know, I mean, if you don't know, they're the Mayans and Aztecs and all natives were all talking about how it was in 2012.
Yeah.
Supposedly of the end of the world.
It's 2020.
2020, which makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
And... given the fucking year, and then it's going to be this December on the 20-something. I know the exact date, but it's December 20-something. And basically, we don't see it as the end of the world, like, dying. We see it as the end of a world. Like, we already know this. Our old world is done. Like,
the end of an era.
An end of an era. Our old lives, it's... And that's where the calendar ended. So it's so interesting and so accurate that the calendar...
So we were both wrong. It's December 29th.
29th.
Right before the new year.
Right before the new year.
And I think there's an eclipse that day. A lunar eclipse.
Of course there fucking is.
Mm-hmm. The full moon in Cancer.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Krabby Krebs. So... Well, oh, I was going to talk
the changing of the tides.
Wait, Cancer, crabs. So I have a story about the crabs and you. Yeah. So we'll get into it really quickly.
Oh, yes, yes.
So, but yes. Yeah, so don't be like alarmed, like, oh my God, the end of the world. Like they try to scare us 2012. Because the ones you should be listening to are the natives who that calendar belonged to. Yeah. And they're literally telling us over and over, it's not a destruction of the earth, it's an ending of a whole life, like a world that you don't know. We're going into a new world. Is that good or bad? We don't know.
Different.
We don't know. It's going to be new.
Nothing is inherently good or bad. It's different.
It's different. It's going to be rocky for some time until we get it together. And then, you know, until those tangles, like you said, are going to be untangled. And then we're going to get into a smooth new world ride. But don't be scared. Just know that, you know, that's just a fact. That's the real calendar. And I respect it, especially because it's ancient and they knew a lot more shit than we did, especially now. But going into the crab, crab is seen as one of the animals that's able to go into the underworld. And when we do the journeying, we actually use the crab as one of our animals to take us down. So what the crab would do is that it cuts away at any of the roots that is in your way, like untangles it, like you were mentioning it. So the crab will go down, chopping away at anything so you have a smooth ride into the underworld. So,
very interesting.
I like that. So rebirth with the crab, eclipse in Cancer on the 29th, end of an old world and start of a new world.
Yeah, I love that.
Jesus, Jew.
One time, Joe and I smoked weed on a rock, and there was all these crabs around us, and they were all doing this, like, crab dance.
Oh, I love the little crab dance.
They were, like, encircling the rock that we were on, and they were just, like, dancing around us.
Were they dancing, though?
Maybe they were mating, I don't
know. Try to sacrifice you, maybe.
To the moon goddess.
I've seen the videos of them doing it.
It was really intense.
It is intense.
At first, we were like, this is cool. And then it was in Clearwater. It was like 10 years ago. We were like, this is cool. And then it was like, getting kind of creeped out here.
If you guys haven't seen them do this, you gotta like look it up on YouTube or something. It's really ritualistic.
Yeah, crabs are so ritualistic.
They are. They're underground beings. Yeah,
moved by the tides.
The tides and underwater. And you know who also that people don't think about too is the turtles.
Yeah.
They're also underground beings. But they're very much also the water. So interesting. The elements are earth and water.
Yeah.
So these animals that are underground, underworld, are also earth and water.
Yeah, I definitely see the U connection to, like, you know, the beach too, because I grew up by the Jersey Shore and U was everywhere there.
They're just amazing.
It really is the best. I can't wait to put one in my yard. But yeah. U is also really interesting. It has cancer fighting properties. And it's a component of the U tree is used to make the cancer fighting drug Taxol.
Wow.
Yeah. So it really does have that life death.
It does.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that. That's very interesting. Look at this house inside the yew tree.
Oh, that is so cool. It's like where David the gnome lives.
So if you find a yew tree also that's open, like I saw a lot, like as I told you, I would hide in them and like have a little, that would be like my little tent inside a yew tree. You could do rituals in there, seances, any, you know, I don't recommend it if you're new to this kind of stuff, but yes, if you want to. Oh, also, you could wear, I know I'm getting a little, like, dark with this, but if you take the graveyard dirt of a deceased loved one, say I took some off the top of my dad's graveyard.
Yeah.
And I put you in a little tiny vial and put it around my neck. Mm-hmm. And then I did, like, meditation or seance, whatever you want to call it. It's the same fucking shit. Mm-hmm. To call on him specifically. That's, he'll come through, and the U is supposed to protect you, and the dirt is specified just for him coming through.
For reference, you do not want to take the graveyard dirt from a grave of someone that is not in your family.
Dude, like, whatever horrible thing comes you deserve it because you shouldn't be doing shit like that.
I know, but people just think they see just graveyard dirt with no context in a spell.
Oh, that's right.
You know?
Yes, that's, you know what? That's so true. That's in a lot of the freaking spells. I see that, and I've seen younger witches or even experienced ones saying graveyard dirt. They sell it.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I would say it also that kind of fits under the umbrella of Wiccanism that we were talking about in the last. That's kind of like the danger of
fucking
blending everything together in a melting pot with no context,
right.
You know?
That you just take it from other places and not knowing what you're doing is super dangerous.
Yeah.
Yes, graveyard dirt is, you know, dope as fuck and you want to use it, but you have to understand. So if you want to really use graveyard dirt, you need to go around the graveyard where there is no bodies. So that would be like the perimeter, right? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Perimeter, I think. But do not grab it from where there are tombstones.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to fuck up everything. It's going to fuck up your life.
And just in general, maybe we should discuss some graveyard etiquette because this is the time of year a lot of people are visiting graveyards.
Let's do this. And we're talking about Jews, you, so
yeah.
I'm sorry that Latina makes me go Jew instead of you.
So, you know, obviously we don't want to, like, be hard style posing on top of people's graves and shit like that. Offerings are nice. Like, if you're visiting a prominent person, you might want to bring an offering. Like, if you're visiting Marie Laveau or a popular figure, you might want to bring something to their grave to leave. Or bring, like, just like you would for your own ancestors.
Yep.
Leave a little something.
Pomegranate.
Yeah. You want to be mindful of what you leave, too, though. Don't be leaving some shit that they don't fucking like.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. When I went to Salem, and we were going through, well, those weren't real graves. They were just stand-ins because they don't know where they actually buried the people from the witch trials, which I say people because they weren't real witches. They were innocent people, although they tell you they are. Some of them will tell you they are, and some tell you the truth that they really weren't.
Yeah.
So either way, they were persecuted for being witches, but they weren't. It was just, you know, to steal their houses and lands and things like that, or they just weren't liked by the community.
Sexism,
yeah, for sure.
Fear of medicine and not understanding germs. So thinking, I'm a good Christian, why would I get cursed by God?
And
I pray
hysteria.
All the time, you know, if you had a stillborn baby, if you got sick, etc., it had to be the doing of a witch because you didn't understand basic medical science.
And what people don't know is that the witch hunts were going around the world. So this was happening in Spain, this was happening in the Caribbean, this was happening everywhere.
In some places it's still happening.
Yes. So, for instance, Massachusetts was just like, dude, this is a good excuse to get rid of some of these women and take their land and their big-ass houses, because most of them didn't have a husband or they just wanted their land and things like that. Like, you have to look into the real history.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I did when I was down there. And okay, so when I was there and I was looking at the graves and the cemeteries and also where they had the stones for them, people left the weirdest shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, there was like New Orleans-style beads left on the stones. Why? Why are there beads? Like, I call them titty beans. Beads.
Yeah, Mardi Gras beads.
Mardi Gras, that's what it is. Left on the stones. Or fucking half-eaten apples.
What?
Like,
chew,
like
a bit.
Do not
put your garbage on someone's
grave.
That's
exactly what that is. If you take a bite out of a fruit and you leave it there, that's garbage. It's not an offering. Sorry. Yeah, no, there was cigarettes, they'll leave cigarettes. I mean, we leave tobacco, that's sacred.
Mm-hmm.
Cigarettes are killers. Like, that's not sacred. There's nothing sacred about a cigarette or the smoke of a cigarette. It's not something you compare to tobacco. It's or cannabis, for instance. Mm-hmm. Like, when I don't have cigars or tobacco, which is rare, it rarely happens, mm-hmm. I do give my offering cannabis offerings.
Yeah.
But then I smoke the joint, and then I'm like, thanks, we smoked it together. Yeah. I'm not going to get rid of some good weed. So, yeah, things sacred smoke, sacred foods and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I see balloons. That's another thing. So in my culture, balloons is not something you put on a grave. You're not celebrating their death. Mm-hmm. It's not celebratory. So for us, it's like kind of like bad luck leaving
balloons. You know what? That's really interesting. And that brings up another really interesting conversation for right now with the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Mm.
A lot of people are saying she's in heaven now and she's in a better place, and using a lot of Christian terminology to speak about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is Jewish.
What?
So when you're honoring the dead,
right?
Like, if you're honoring somebody who wasn't Christian, you're not going to leave a cross on their grave.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. Like, you're not going to leave your religious stuff that doesn't belong to the religion of the deceased.
Yeah, that's kind of like I'm Taino. Everybody knows I'm indigenous Taino, like a real Taino. And my altar, for our Taino altars, they belong on the ground,
mm-hmm.
number one. Number two, you cannot put anything that's metal on the altar. Do you know why? Because metal is what the colonizers brought with their guns to murder our ancestors. So that element does not go anywhere near our altar. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with our graves. They don't go anywhere near our graves. So it's kind of like putting a cross on a Taino's.
Yeah.
Like, don't put a cross on my fucking grave. Like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
You're literally just putting what killed my ancestors on my space. So be very mindful of who you're going to go see, who you're seeing. Don't leave an offering at all. If you don't have something that you're not okay, that you're not sure of, anything, just pay your respects.
Or flower.
Yes, flowers always work.
Flowers are generally, you want to leave something nice, leave flowers.
Just don't leave a you.
Because it makes the it always makes the plot seem cared for to have some flowers.
Always. I agree.
You know?
Anything with really flowers. Really
can't go wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm choosing to be buried with, you know, the tree?
Mm-hmm.
The tree burials now? Yeah, so the tree pod. So even my man, we were talking about it. He wants to do the same thing. It's just, we had that conversation. And it's really connected to you. So there's another aspect to it, mm-hmm. of why I'm talking about this, is because to me, you, the tree, really brings in the natural cycle of life and death, right? Yeah. The whole natural rhythm of it. And because of this year and death, we have to think about preparations for death. Like, mm-hmm. we're starting that process. We can't.
I think that was one of the scariest parts of this year, is you had to think about, like, what happens if you die and you have to leave kids behind and all of that stuff.
Yeah, my man was having conversations with me. Juliet, your businesses, your customers, what do we do with your members? I don't have access to any of that. I'm like, dude, I'm going to have to talk to Chelsea because you're the only one I trust.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to do the whole life thing and leave all that information, like logins, passwords. I was going to tell you, but I'll make sure that you'll be one okay. of the people who gets it. With him.
Yeah.
Make sure, because even though he'll get it, he'll probably doesn't even know how to work any of
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my Instagram, just if you have to make an announcement, oh my God, that's scary. Yeah, but we had to think, like, about these things.
Crazy to think about.
Yeah. I'm like, no one's going to know how to access any of my stuff. And then, you know, the worst thing that could happen is, you know, people don't know what happened, and mm-hmm. they're part of my memberships and all my publisher, like, no one's going to know. So, because we live in such a huge digital world,
yeah,
that's where most of our life is,
yeah.
that we need to be mindful of who do we pass these informations down to that we mm-hmm. trust, that they can access it just in case.
Yeah, like, I had employees thinking about, like, what happens if I die, then they have to, like,
well, which baby? Make
plans to go work somewhere else, you know?
Or who continues it.
That was just a very weird thing.
It is a weird thing, but it's something that you have to...
Mm-hmm.
talk about. I'm like, I don't want my kids being left with paying with for my stuff. Like, where does the money go? My book money that's still going to be coming in, who's going to get that money? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
But, like, with the Saturn aspects, it's really made us think about long-term plans and having more structured plans and coming up with more structured training procedures and protocols and things like that so that, you know, if anything were to happen, it can still just continue on.
Yeah, so the reason why we're going to Puerto Rico, like, I have a really intense feeling of not being in this country. I told you that before. Like, I've been wanting my pool was to leave before November. Mm-hmm. So we're already passing that. And it's already giving me anxiety. Yeah. Why? I have no idea why.
Yeah.
I can't tell you why. But there's this really strong urge for me to get out of this country. I'm not saying something's going to happen in the country. Just for me, spiritually and energetically, there's still so much
going
on.
Your intuition's just pulling you elsewhere.
It's just like, get out. It wants me out, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to go to Puerto Rico for a week next month in November, where we're going to look at the land that my man has. And we're going, I have to go. My mom's coming. And I was telling Chelsea how big of a deal this is. My mom does not care if she's on her deathbed. She needs to go with me to make sure that the land, the island of Puerto Rico, wants me there. And that the island of Puerto Rico, the land that we have, wants me to build on that land.
Kind of seems like she's already calling you, though.
Yeah, she is. So I have to go because I'm Taino from Cuba. My man's from Puerto Borinquen, that's the right name for it. The Taino original name for Puerto Rico is Borinquen before colonization. So she's coming with me to make sure that the spirits are good. Yeah. And the ancestors are good there with me. But the whole natural thing, like, I really do feel like you has that energy of that natural cycle of where we actually belong. I personally don't think we belong in a coffin inside the earth. There's a reason why naturally we were supposed to die on the earth or be buried, whatever, but you're still with the earth and you're the wisdom and the spirit of your body. Remember, you have different bodies, right? And your flesh is one of them. Your body has it's your temple. It has a spirit. That's why it's important to connect your spirit with your body. And when we say body holds memory. It holds trauma.
Like, a lot of people, when they get into the spiritual thing, just the focus is on your soul and not on your body.
Not on your body. Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Right? And the important thing is that the way I think about it is Mother Earth does what? She takes away everything. She cleanses you. And then everything that you have, like your wisdom, your experiences, even the bad experiences, go back into the earth. And when people who are connected to the earth, they learn from your experiences. That's how ancestry works. That's how I learned with my ancestors, through plants, through the land, because their bodies went into the earth and they're coming back through trees and plants, and that's where I'm getting my wisdom from, right? So what good am I doing getting in a coffin and not, like, allowing the natural process?
Makes sense.
So what happens if you're in a coffin, right? And the natural process is for you to go into the earth, for them to, for the earth to cleanse you, and then keep what's good for the next generations, for the next people. What happens when that doesn't happen? When that doesn't happen? When you don't allow that? Is that where the karmic cycle starts? Is that how we're getting stuck with the same problems and traumas and having to deal with old karmic debt from not allowing our bodies to go into the earth for that to be cleansed and having to come back to earth to redo this all over again?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going a little intense into it.
Yeah.
But I rather...
No, it's important to ask these questions.
And I'm so weird about this stuff. You know, I'm such a nerdball. I am such a nerdball, but I do think this intimately and
even as far as everything decomposes in the earth, but, like, when you use, like, an embalming fluid or whatever.
And they take out your organs and embalming fluid. And then you have the box surrounding you, which doesn't really allow for, like the earth to be in you. Like the dirt.
Yeah.
So your body's what really goes through, I know we're being gross, but it's, like, the juices and all that stuff. And then the maggots are eating you and all that crap. But... I rather go into the dirt itself, period. And then the tree. So I really do want to be a tree.
I went through this really weird phase when news articles were first, like, allowed on Google.
Mm-hmm.
Where they first list, I think you have to pay now to access these old news articles. But when they first introduced the news section of Google, you could go back to, like, the 1500s and find news articles about, like, witches and vampires and stuff like that. Yeah, and people would, like, dig up the dead, and they would see that their fingernails have grown, which is, like, what happens. And so then they would think that they were a vampire, and they would, like, stake them and, like, do all this stuff.
Like, after...
Yeah, like, but I just, like, got really obsessed with finding these articles.
Where their hair gets longer. Yeah, but hello, and your body's shrinking.
Yep. And so they would, like, write about how all this stuff happened in the coffin, and then they would, like, you know.
That's just awful. Humans are so obsessive.
Desecrate the body.
Oh, my God. It's like, and that's another thing that we were talking about. I was talking with my tattoo artist who's doing the ceremonial tattoo on me, my ancestral tattoo, that humans are extremists. Like, there is no balance.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about veganism, because I remember when I was a vegan for 5 years, there were people still calling me out saying I'm not a vegan because I had honey. So I'm like, what the fuck? Like, and then people who want to do better and eat better don't become vegans because of that shit. Because you're going to come out and tell them, well, you're not vegan because you're not doing it right, blah, blah, or fully. So then they just stay on the other side of it where they just keep eating meat and big loads of it. There has to be, like, a balance. And that balance has to be right for the individual person. Not everybody could be vegan, for instance. I can't. I have lupus. I have autoimmune. For some reason, I have to have meat in my body. Also, I'm Caribbean. So,
and we've talked about ancestral diets.
Ancestral diets. I tried eating raw food. Like, I did, what's the name of them? Sahara, is it? Sakura? I don't know. I ordered the whole program, and I did the whole raw. That damaged me so much. I was so sick. My inflammation went up. I had fevers. My flares kicked in. My stomach, I was constipated for so long. And I was taking the supplements. I was doing everything to help, like, the flow and digestion, hydrating. But the diet does not work for me. Yo soy del Caribe. I need to eat the way my Caribbean people eat. And they don't eat a lot of meat. There was a lot of fish. So I am pescatarian. Like, I always say, that's mainly my diet is... fish, a lot of beautiful vegetables, rice maybe here and there. I'm not big on carbs, but not as much meat. That came in more after colonization, that we started eating more meat, like our Latinos. But you can't judge people on their diet because, you know what? Not everybody could do it.
Yeah.
It's just doesn't work. Well, I think,
you know, people get into this, and it's... problem with ego is that people get into a space where, like, nobody is good enough, you know? And that's the problem that we see, like, in this election with Joe Biden. Like, he's not the ideal candidate.
It's so just...
you still have to vote.
You still... it's just...
and regardless of whether you think they're ideal or not, you know? Like, no one's going to be perfect. And these candidates certainly are not perfect. They are far from perfect.
Nobody's worse than fucking Trump.
But...
sorry.
You lose your power by not voting.
You do. You have to vote. Do I want to vote for Biden? Yes. But you know why? Because I'm not voting for Trump. And I'm not allowing that to happen again. With the vice president... with her, she pretty much, people are having issues with her because now she's trying to legalize cannabis, right? But she locked up a lot of people because of it. And it's like being like, but is that the worst she did?
Is that her job?
That was her job at the time. So she could make it right, though.
And
she could go back and, like, release these people.
I do think that sometimes people learn from the problems in their industry and then want to change it.
Like, politics are never going to be good.
Yeah, it's not perfect. It's never going
to
be perfect.
Nobody's fucking perfect.
You have to do the adult thing, and you have to vote.
You have to. I mean, guys.
The election is in 2 weeks. You have to vote. Sorry to go on a political thing.
No, it's not political. You really need to vote. But you know what? It's not political. This is our life. This is our livelihood. This country needs you. We need to get rid of... And by this time, if you're supporting Trump, I don't know. I don't know why. I'm sorry. But anyway, we do not support Trump. I don't know anybody who actually does that's not from, like, you know, crazy town. But just vote. Your vote is so needed. I'm like, please, if you haven't gotten your ballots, just do it. Our votes actually count, especially if you're Latinas. There's so many of us, Latinos, there's so many of us in this country. We could really shift this. Like, we could make a huge difference. And what happened with Trump is that a lot of us didn't fucking vote. Mm-hmm. They weren't out there voting, you know, because you get to the point that you're like, oh, our vote doesn't count. It does. It really does count. Is the system rigged or to a certain point? Yeah, I'm sure. But it still counts when you vote. Because when you don't vote, guess what happens? Who gets the vote? Trump does. He's mm-hmm. going to get our non-votes. And we don't want that to happen. It's going to be a win no matter what, as long as
vote.
He's not in
Bring
it.
Your kids to vote. Teach your kids how to vote.
Yep.
You know, show them what it looks like to vote. A lot of kids grow up, they don't know where to vote, how to vote, why they should vote. So if you make it a thing, you know, they know how to celebrate holidays. They know what to do on specific days. They know, like, you know, how to go to the grocery store. They know how to do things when they become adults because they did them in their childhood. Yep. So you need to do those things with your children, too.
Yeah. And you know what? We have all the right to bring up, go vote. Like, this should be everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just do it, spread the word, make sure your friends, your families are doing it. It's like, this should be how we unite.
Don't be afraid to talk about politics.
Don't. There's nothing. And if somebody says, I don't want to talk about politics, just punch them in the mouth. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. But
now that really, you can't.
That really ekes me out. Oh, we don't talk about politics. I'm like, you're a douchebag. Because politics at this point is not politics. It's our life. It's our livelihood. It's our children's future. It's the Earth's future.
Also, when did politics steer so far from human needs that we can't talk about it without yelling
People
at each
don't
other?
Know, because that's what it is.
Why
People
does
don't
it have
conversations anymore.
Why does it have to be so polarizing that you have some things that one side is really passionate about so far from the other side that things are passionate about that you guys can't meet somewhere in the middle? Why is everything so extreme?
That's why I was just saying we're extremists. So, okay, we understand we have people who are not going to agree with us, but the fact that you're shutting down religion, shutting down politics as conversational pieces is why we're all fucked up. It's why we're here with Trump, because we don't want to have those conversations where we see the perspective of each other, right? I don't know if I brought this up in the other episode, but I had a conversation with a man who the guy who was like, Trump, at the Muslim lady. And I spent time. You know, I did want to, like, choke him out. But I spent time there with him because I saw in his soul. I saw through his eyes. And I'm like, he's somewhere in his brain that's not okay. So I had a conversation. I took the time to stand there with a man who was like, Trump, right? At the most disgusting energy I've ever felt from someone in front of me that close. And at a black woman who also happened to be a Muslim. And me there as a person of color, like, who the fuck do you think you are doing that? Like, are you trying to threaten us or whatever? Either way, I put my ego aside, knowing that I'm in the right anyway, of course. But I put my ego aside and gave time to have a conversation. Was it a hard fucking conversation? Yes, it was. It was really hard because the stuff that comes out of Trump supporters' mouths are really crazy. And it's just like, I don't understand where your brain is. But they also don't understand where our brain is. Mm-hmm. You got to understand that. They do not see where we're coming from because they haven't lived our experiences. They're blind to what's really happening, affecting our black indigenous people of color. They're set on one thing, right? That American dream. And it's a falsitude.
Well, here's the thing, too. You know, if you are in any position of privilege, then it is not, like, you don't just get to check out of talking about politics.
You don't.
You need to talk to other people who have privilege about politics and try to get them to understand other people's perspectives. When it comes to, like, for example, if you're a man and you hear people speaking about women, that you should step in and say something.
Yeah, for sure. You know, growing up, Latinos and Latinos, our parents were so used to not getting involved in shit. That's why in our own community, in our own cultures, we have a lot of healing to do and a lot of decolonizing to do. Because, for instance, if there was a fight next door and you clearly heard it was, like, a horrible, abusive fight next door, like, our neighbors, our parents would be like, don't get involved. We're not getting involved. And they'll put the music up and they'll just forget about it. And that was never me since I was little. But again, that's why I think that our generations were born to fuck shit up, to burn shit down, to shake things up, to say no. I don't care what you're trying to tell me to do. That's not the right way. We have so much. We came in here with that scale, right? That balancing scale of what's right and what's wrong, of bringing a balance, of understanding that there's different views. But the thing is, it's not about views or perspectives when lives are at stake, when people are literally being murdered and tortured and kept in cages, children being kept in cages, children being stolen and sold for sex and trafficking. This is real life. This is our country. This is our lives.
Women being forced to have hysterectomies that they don't want to have.
That they don't want to have. By the way, all of a sudden, Trump got COVID when that news came out. And that was a huge fucking distraction. So you guys have to open your minds and your eyes as to what's really going behind. Not saying don't become conspiracy theorists, but there's nothing wrong with that either. But still, just look at what's really going on. There's always a cover-up for something, and usually it's hiding the bigger truth of, like, the horrific things that are going on. So can you believe that? Hysterectomies? They were telling them they had cancer. That's how it started. They were telling these women that they had cancer, that they had to go to the hospital. Interesting enough, that connects with kind of like what was happening with my family. And then taking their whole uterus, you know, everything out, and just doing these surgeries. And then it comes to find out that they were doing it to a lot of them.
Yeah, that's like a fucking war crime.
But nobody's talking about it.
I really don't understand how that just got swept under. Like, that's not the biggest fucking news ever.
You know that this is the only country, you see Puerto Rico, Borinquen, right? Their people got out, all of them. Every single one got out into the streets to unite, to bring down corrupt government. This happens in Brazil. This happens in Peru. This happens all over the fucking world. Our indigenous freaking Amazon tribes, they do this. And this country, the United States, right, with the word united in it, we don't do it. If anything, we go and send out SWAT teams to bring down the protesters. If everybody in this country, especially white people, the privileged, got out, and they're the ones that fought for the people who are wanting protection, who need protection, this country would be very different.
Do you know what? You wouldn't even have to go out and fight for it if you just fucking voted.
It's ridiculous.
Vote at the local level. Vote for real people. You know, that's real important. People run in elections.
Local levels.
The presidential election isn't the only election you need to be voting in. You need to be voting on the most local level. Yeah. Because that's where it starts.
Yep. And this is so true to what we're talking about with you today, Y-E-U, the tree, because the energy of you really does bring out, like, the dark aspects of real life shit. And, you know, this wouldn't be an episode without talking about owning your power, because you is very powerful. And owning your power means voicing, voting, using what rights you do have to make a difference.
And just your dedication to protecting human life, human sanctity, you know, standing together, not allowing the death of 210,000 people to just fall by the wayside. And, you know, like, honoring those people by voting for someone that's going to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think that's it.
Yeah. It is. And it starts, right? It starts small. It starts, like she said, pay attention to, like, local politics. Start running for politics. If
yeah.
you feel like you're someone who's very connected and someone who wants to change the world, your city, your community, go. Why aren't you running for politics then?
I think this is a very Saturn aspect of this conversation. I think there's one thing that I learned when I was a kid and I watched SLC Punk legitimately hundreds of times. That the only way you can change a system is from within the system.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us, you know, we get discouraged from trying to work within these systems to change them because we think it's a them versus us thing.
Right.
But we can become members of our community that influence and shape the way the communities do things. We can become judges. We can become lawyers. We can become, we can work in like social services. Mm-hmm. We can make the changes that we want to see. Part of why I do Witch Baby is because I wanted to make things with biodegradable shrink wrap. I wanted to put cosmetics in glass jars, and I wanted to, you know, have a more green product line that doesn't have such an impact on the earth. I wanted to be able to provide health care for my employees and pay them reasonable wages. So we can make the changes that we want to see. We're not powerless. And while protesting is a very, very important to do and has gotten us so many of our rights, it's also so important for us to just participate in society and not be feel shunned from these organizations because they aren't created for us.
Right.
We need to be the changes in these organizations.
Yep. And that happened to me this year. I closed down Sagrada, mm-hmm. Not Sagrada, Sacred Craft Academy, which was basically more magic herbalism.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt... So the things I was really passionate about changing, like in activism, was equality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Decolonizing spirituality, tackling cultural appropriation was another one. And making sure that my communities, like Black, Indigenous people of color, had access to the same things that non-Black, Indigenous people of color had to, which was like mental health,
mm-hmm.
Care and spirituality, healing, things like that. So I created the Sagrada Collective, which everybody in the Sagrada Collective is run by Black, Indigenous people of color. All our teachers are Black, Indigenous people of color. Most all of our members are Black, Indigenous people of color, and they're getting healing workshops. They're getting magical workshops directly from the people who belong to those cultures and practices. And it's really freaking powerful. Like, just Sagrada Collective has become such a powerhouse in my life. I'm so proud of it. It just took a spirit of its own, mm-hmm. and it's healing. It's doing so much healing already. It has a lot of us looking into our cultural practices and making a really beautiful spiritual magical lifestyle. That's what it's for, is to have a place where people go, they have access to a library of workshops with all these different practices and crafts and healing. We have mental health person that comes in every month and does webinars,
mm-hmm.
and it's really changed a lot of lives. It's changed my life.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, all the stuff I fought for that I was actively in activism doing, I decided, just like what you said, do it myself.
Yeah.
What can I create that embodies all of these passions into one space? And that's what Sagrada Collective is all of those things that I found that weren't working out there, the injustices. And I created a fucking business that is rooted in that. And I'm and it's just me, right? But at least I'm doing something about it.
Yeah.
That I'm not putting anger towards wanting to change. Now I'm using my love and passion for it and doing something good with it, which is really impactful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's so important. We have to just be the change we want to see. And then, you know, everybody knows it. It starts in the indies. It starts in the small businesses. And then it gets co-opted by the corporations. So you set the tone. You decide what the culture is going to be. You decide what the conversation is. It starts amongst real people on Twitter. It starts amongst real people on Instagram, the fashion trends, on TikTok. The dances are made by real people. Everything that influences major corporations starts at the ground level. It starts
from with the consumers.
People. Yes. So you set the culture. You set the laws. You set the expectations. If you're okay with the current expectations, then that's what they're going to be. But if you're not and you want to change it, you have to continue to keep that conversation going. Do what you need to do. Make the changes in your workplace or your business, and other people will follow suit.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that's a really powerful way of directing your energy instead of constantly being in a state of hating and anger and fear. Direct it into doing something that's going to be positive, that's bring something positive out of it. And again, that's something I learned from like my Indigenous elders. They constantly tell us, you know, war is not the answer. Fear and hatred is not the answer. And then we just, our generation just doesn't get that, because I'm like, if we don't make noise, if we don't burn things down, how are they going to listen to us? They never listen to us, even when we're at peace. But then you learn that there is power in love. There is power in your passion and that fire, that you could use it for good. And you don't necessarily have to burn things down physically, but you could burn things down with a statement and being an example.
I think that it really, just to wrap this up with you and Saturn and all of that stuff, you know, I think that people under this Saturn year of a pandemic, of social inequality and racial inequality, people have realized that they want to live purposeful lives.
Yep.
And this isn't, dying today with the way things were before isn't satisfying. And whether that's going out and marching in the streets to make change, or, you know, completely deciding that they're going to do something different with their business, their message, any of those things, I think ultimately we're thinking about, how are we going to leave this earth? What is our legacy? How are we making a better mark on this planet? And you know what? You need to think about that. And the reason we talk about voting and talk about these things is, you don't know what tomorrow could hold. This could be your very last vote.
Yep, that's true. That's very true.
And I think that's it. I think that's where we can wrap it up.
Yep.
So, where can we find you, Juliet?
Everywhere, all social media, from Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, all of them are I Am Juliet Diaz.
And you can find me on Instagram at stayathomewitch. That's my personal one. At witchbabysoap on Instagram, Twitter, and then at chelseathewitch on TikTok.
Yes.
Have a great day.
Bye.